The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Hey, they don't even know me. Thank you. April 1st. Yet this guy behind me said, he said, they really don't like you, April Fool's Day. I got to ask one question. John Hamlin don't get that kind of welcome here, does he? I knew I didn't. I praise the Lord. And good to be here tonight. I appreciate it. I told your pastor's wife, I said, your husband must really trust me to let me preach here in his absence. She said, he does. April Fool. Then she said, I'm going to turn my back on you while you preach. And I understand that. But I do love your pastor. He's a wonderful man of God, and I trust the Lord will help him and bless him. If I was over there and they just mentioned Cyclone, I'd say, see y'all, going back to Texas. But do pray for him. I heard a lot of great things about your church, and the Lord is doing a great work. I'm glad God is not dead. And old-time religion's alive and well. They told me on Wednesday night, you usually get out about 10:30, so that'll be a great blessing. And the Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Hold them up. Now turn to somebody with their hands lifted and say, I told you you was going to shout one of these days, praise God. The Lord is good. Thank you so much. Luke chapter number 11 tonight, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. Luke chapter 11, begin reading in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him, I love this, as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and them that seeketh findeth, and them that knocketh it shall be opened. Verse number 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he shall ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the answer to that is no. The father is not going to do anything harmful to the son. Watch verse 13. If ye then, being evil, how much more. I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I like that phrase. That's what kind of Bible we've got. That's what kind of salvation we have. That's what kind of Savior we have. That's our kind of salvation we got. That's the kind of peace we got, the kind of joy we got, the kind of happy we got. I like it. How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We'll come to this passage tonight, and it's one of the most powerful parables on prayer that Jesus gives in the New Testament. In this passage tonight, Jesus not only instructs them to pray, but he also inspires them to pray. How does he inspire them to pray? By reminding them in these verses that God hears and God answers prayer. Wow, what good would it do to pray if we didn't have the assurance and faith that God does hear and answer our prayer? In the passage tonight, he uses a twofold illustration to magnify the truth that God answers prayer. In verse 5, down through verse number 10, he uses what I call the friend illustration. He answers prayer because he is our friend. And I'm glad tonight that we have a friend in Jesus Christ. And because he is our friend, we know that he hears and answers our prayer. He is not a fake friend. He is not a false friend. He is not a frivolous friend. But Jesus is a real friend. He is a Proverbs kind of friend. Someone said, what kind of a friend is a Proverbs kind of friend? Well, Proverbs said that a friend loveth at all times. That's Jesus. The Bible said, if a man hath friends, he must show himself friendly. That's Jesus. Proverbs said that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus. He is a John 15 kind of friend, where John said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He is a faithful friend. He is a kind friend. He is a true friend. He is a loving friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love the line of that great song, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pop Spear said it the best in his gospel song, he's the dearest friend I ever had. You say, preacher, I don't have any friends in this life. You have one friend tonight, and his name is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And because he is our friend, we know that he answers prayer. And then in verse 11, down to verse number 13, he uses what I call the Father illustration. He not only answers prayer because he is our friend, but he answers prayer because he is our Father. And as a father pities his children and loves his children and leads and guides and directs and provides, yes, and even chastens his children, I'm glad we have a heavenly Father who leads and guides, protects, provides, yes, even chastens you and I. He is our eternal Father. He is our loving Father. He is our faithful Father. He is our merciful Father. He is our loving Father. He is our forever Father. He is our Father. In fact, he says, when you pray, address him as such. Our Father, which art in heaven. And because he is our Father, and because he is our friend, he answers prayer. Now, what I love about this text is this. The same one that's my Father is my friend. And the same one that's my friend is my Father. He's my friendly Father and my fatherly friend. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is my Father and my friend. And because of that, he answers prayer. But nestled back in verse 5 through verse number 10 in this friend illustration of prayer, I found three particular friends that come to light in this passage. Three different friends are mentioned in these verses tonight. There's a friend to me that's a picture of a sinner that's hungry and needs bread. And then there's a friend that's a picture of a saint who has the opportunity to minister to this man who is hungry. And then there's a third friend that's a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has bread when nobody else has bread. Now, according to verse number 5, the setting of this text takes place in the midnight hour. And so with that in mind, I want to preach tonight on this subject. Three friends in the midnight hour. Three friends in the midnight hour. And I really believe tonight, church, prophetically speaking, we are living in the midnight hour of time. I really believe with all of my heart the next thing on God's prophetic time clock is the sounding of the trumpet, the splitting of the eastern sky, and Jesus coming back again. One lady said to me, she said, Pastor, I've heard all my life that Jesus is coming and he hasn't come yet. Does that mean anything to you? I said, yes, ma'am, that means we're closer to his coming than the first time you ever heard anybody mentioned it. I was talking to some preachers the other day and I didn't know this. I thought all preachers believed the Bible. I really did. I thought all preachers believed the Bible. But I met a preacher the other day, him and his buddies, they don't believe the Lord's coming. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the millennium. They don't believe in the glory world. And I said this, I said, I'm telling you, if you're truly saved, you're going whether you want to or not. My soul, can you imagine going to heaven under protest? I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And Jesus is coming. And I really believe that we're living in the midnight hour of time. And I hear people say all the time, well, Brother Joe, there's always been trouble. There's always been trial. There's always been perplexity of nations. Yes, I understand that. But now in our day, Israel is in place. And Israel has become a nation. And let me just say this and get it out of my mind, and I won't have to say it three or four times. I never thought I'd ever live in my country. But I was scared about my president and the Congress and my leaders turning their back on the Jew and the nation of Israel. It's not like we're not already in enough trouble with God with okay and same-sex marriage. It's not that we're not already in trouble with God murdering all these innocent little babies in the form of abortion. But now we're really going to get God hot and mad because that covenant that he made with Abraham by the starlit heaven and by the sandy seashore, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. God has not changed that. Israel is still God's chosen people, and the whole world is a boiling point, and we are living in the midnight hour of time. But in light of that, I want to say this. Praise God, what a wonderful time to be a Christian. What a wonderful time to be salt. What a wonderful time to be light. Because they need our witness. They need our light. They need our message. We have the answer in the midnight hour. I say, let's preach the gospel in the midnight hour. Let's win souls in midnight hour. Let's build churches in the midnight hour. Because God is still real at midnight. God still lives at midnight. The blood still saves at midnight. The Bible still the word of God at midnight. We're living in the midnight hour of time. And what a wonderful time to be a Christian. Let's look at our text tonight at these three friends in the midnight hour. Friend number one, remember I said he is a picture of a sinner. I call him tonight the eager friend. He is an eager friend. You say, why is that, Brother Joe? Because notice what he's doing in our text. He is walking the street. He is going from door to door. He is going from house to house. And he's asking for one thing. He is asking for bread. He is eager for bread. He is hungry for bread. He wants just enough bread to survive the midnight. He is thirsty. He is longing. He is hungry. He is searching. He is searching for something to satisfy him and sustain him through the midnight hour. You say, well, brother, why do you think that's a picture of the sinner? Here is why. Because I believe that men and women and boys and girls were created in the image of God. I don't believe we came from tadpoles. I don't believe we came from lizards. I don't believe we came from monkeys. Some of my ancestors may have swung from their neck, but didn't any of them swing from their tails? Man was created in the image of God. Therefore, man has the capacity to experience God and hear God and feel God and know God and fellowship with God. And because of that, there's a place in man's life that's reserved for God and God alone. Let me say that again. There is a place in man's life that's reserved for God and God alone. He can drink enough liquor to float a battleship. He can take enough drugs till he fries his mind. He can try everything the world has to offer. But until he enters into a personal, real relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that empty, that thirst, that longing, that unfulfilled spirit will always be gnawing at his soul, because man's greatest need is Jesus Christ. Man's greatest need is a relationship with God. Man's greatest need is to get that water, that if you ever drink it, you'll never thirst. And to get that bread, if you ever eat it, you'll never hunger. And get that life, if you ever get it, you'll never die. and get in that hand, that if you ever get it, ye shall never perish. And people are empty, they're hungry, they're thirsting, they're searching. And may I say this tonight, that Jesus Christ didn't used to be the answer. He's not going to be the answer. He is still the answer. He is right for what's wrong in people's lives. Someone said, Brother Joe, why do people do the things they do? Why do they act the way they act? Why do they do what they do in far as sin and all? Because they're empty. They're hungry. They're reaching out. They're just trying to find something to satisfy. But can I say this to you tonight? You can search this world over. You can try everything there is to try. But until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and picks him up out of sin where he has trod, until you've known how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing till you've known the love of God. Can I remind you tonight that Jesus is not a way, some way, one of the many different ways. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the shepherd. He is the water. He is the bread. He is the vine. He is the resurrection. He is not a lamb, some lamb, one of the many lambs. He is the lamb, the only lamb. He is the savior of mankind, the chief cornerstone of the church, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright, the morning star, the alpha, the omega, the first, the last, beginning of the end, and everything else in between. I'm telling you, what the world needs is Jesus, and he saves and he satisfies. Searching for bread, hungry for bread, looking for bread in the midnight hour. I enjoyed my fellowship with this brother. The reason why I like it, he bought my meal. And I'll like you if you'll buy me something to eat. And man, I'm telling you, was fellowshipping tonight, and a young man came over and took our order. You could tell by the way he was dressed, by the way he looked, he was not an independent, fundamental, premillennial, separated, on fire for God, soul of the Lord, soul-winning, Schofield Bible-toting Baptist. You could tell he was a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. But as I began to talk to that young man, he had a sweet spirit. He had a good attitude. He was very mannerly, very kind. And I said to this dear brother, he's not a punk. He really isn't. He looks the way he looks. He lives the way he lives. He acts the way he acts, because nobody has ever reached him for Jesus Christ. And can I remind you tonight, in the midnight hour, there are people all around us. They've tried education. They've tried legislation. They've tried organization. And they've even tried sanitation. But they're still lost. And they're still looking. And they're still hungry. They're reaching out here. And they're reaching out there, just trying to find something to satisfy. Let me just say it like this. Been there and done that. Been there and done that. But blessed be the day when I heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit pricked my heart and pointed me to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. The world needs bread in the midnight hour. And so he's eager. He's looking for something. And I'm glad we know what that is. And his name is Jesus tonight. He's a sinner friend, and he's hungry for bread in the midnight hour. Quickly, let's come to this second friend. Remember, I said the second friend is a picture of a saint. He is a picture of a Christian. You say, why would you say that? Well, notice in the text, he has been providentially, he has been strategically placed into this man's path to help him find some bread. And let me say this tonight, the church of Jesus Christ is not on the stage of time tonight by accident. And you don't live where you live by accident. And you don't work where you work by accident. You don't exist where you exist by accident. God has providentially, God has strategically placed you and I in the path of hungry sinners every day of their life and every day of our life. Can I say this? The church of Jesus Christ has the answer. We have the bread. But you say, preacher, wait just a minute. You said, what kind of friend is he? Well, right down beside of this, he's not the eager friend. He is the empty friend. Notice what he has to say in the text. He said, a friend of mine has come in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This man has to admit, I have an opportunity. Yes, I even have an obligation. But he is saying, I'm empty. I'm not what I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. I just don't have at this moment what it takes to meet the need of this hungry man. I thought about it like this. He said, I have nothing. Did he mean he had none at all? Or did he mean he had some, but it was cold and maybe molded and maybe it was stale? I don't know what all he means by this, but I know the results. He is about to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime to help this hungry sinner find him some bread. You say, now, Brother Arthur, what has that got to do with us? Well, let's real be honest. Sometimes we're not as close to God as we should be. Sometimes we're not as on fire for God as we should be. Now, for all of those that are here tonight and you are perfect and without sin, you just sleep on this point. But for the rest of us, we really need to get it right here. Sometimes our joy, our zeal, our burden, our anointing is not what it needs to be. Sometimes we get cold. Sometimes we get lethargic. Sometimes we have the spirit of apathy. Sometimes, as we say over in our part of the South, we get tarred. And I'm telling you, tarred is tighter than tired. Wore out. We're just not what we ought to be. I've got a friend of mine, and I love this brother. I love him. I think he's a good man, and I love him, but I think he lies. I think he tells lies. Because every time I see him, I say, hey, how you doing? Great. Hallelujah. Great. It's not great all the time. You say, how do you know? I know who he's married to. It ain't great all the time. I know what church he pastors. It's not great all the time. I've met his kids, and they're not great all the time. Because I know me. I'm not great all the time. I told my wife the other day, just one time, to make me feel better about myself, just one time, I wished I could ask him, brother, how you doing? And just for me, I wished he would answer me like Barney answered Andy Griffith one time when Andy said, Barney, did you have a good time last night? Rotten, 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 rotten. I wished I could say, brother, how do you doing? And just one time for me, I wished he'd say, rotten, 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 rotten. Because, brother, sometimes life is rotten, and we don't study like we ought to. We don't pray like we ought to. We're not as close to God as we ought to be. We're not as filled as we ought to be. We're not as fervent as we ought to be. We get cold. We get lethargic, and our zeal and our power sometimes gets weak. And you know what happens in our weak spells, in our fainting spells, in our cold spells? Man, God continually has lost hungry sinners crossing our path. And sometimes we're like this friend in the midnight hour. We just have to say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. That's why we have church on Sunday morning. That's why we come back on Sunday night. That's why we're here on Wednesday night, to get us some hot, fresh, buttered bread from the oven of heaven, so we can go out here tomorrow and tell hungry sinners, we got it, man. We got it, man. We got what you need. We have the bread in the midnight hour. Man, we've been placed in the... Let me just say it like this. Aren't you glad? Man, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying this. I hope I get to come back. Praise God. Man, aren't you glad when you was an old, lost, hungry, longing sinner, God let you cross paths with somebody that had hot bread? Aren't you glad when you was a sinner, God, amen, let you bump into somebody and you could smell the bread on them? They'd been under the spout where the Holy Ghost butter runs out, and they had some hot buttered bread from heaven. And you felt something in them, sensed something in them, saw something in them that made you want to know God. I want to say the world needs us tonight. Our family needs us tonight. Our churches needs us tonight. Let's get us some fresh, hot bread from heaven so it won't be empty, so we can minister to a lost and a dying world. There are a couple of things about this man that I do appreciate, even though he's backslid, cold and empty. There are a couple of things I appreciate about him. I appreciate this about him. Number one, at least he didn't have so much pride that he wouldn't admit, I don't have any. Number two, at least he didn't offer the man a substitute. And that's what the liberal, modernistic, watered down contemporary movement has done in our day. They don't have the bread, they don't have the anointing, they don't have the goods, so they offer a substitute. But can I tell you, people are dying and go to hell on a substitute. And man, they don't have to have a substitute. We don't need the substitute because there really is no substitute. And we really don't need to offer a substitute because we got the real thing, baby. Amen. At least he didn't have so much pride. At least he didn't offer a substitute. And listen, that's what I like about him. He may be empty. Oh boy, write this down. But he knows where to go get some. Man, that ought to make a Methodist knock the back end of the choir robe out right there, buddy. He may be empty, but he knows where to go and get some. I know you're not supposed to repeat yourself, but can I repeat? Let me do a John. That bears repeating. He knows where to go and get some. I'll tell you something tonight. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again, but I know a man who can. I can't take a little family that's broken all apart tonight and put it back together tonight, but I know a man who can. Hey, I can't take a drunk and make him sober. I can't take a sinner and make him saved. I can't take a wild man and make him calm. But I know somebody tonight whose name is Jesus Christ, who can, who has, who will, who does, and who wants to do it again. And so that brings me to the third friend. That first friend is a picture of a sinner. He's the eager friend. That second friend is a picture of a saint. He's what I call the empty friend. But oh, in our text, that third friend, he is a picture of the Savior. And I call him the efficient friend. Why do you say that? Because he has bread when nobody else has bread. You know why he's a picture of Jesus? Because he has bread when nobody else has bread. And now notice he has bread when nobody else has bread. He's got enough bread. And he not only has enough bread, he has more than enough bread. Aren't you glad there's a friend tonight whose name is Jesus? He's got it, but nobody else has. And we have access to his throne even at midnight to get bread for our lost friends in the midnight hour. Watch the text tonight. This man says to his friend, sorry, I'm empty. I don't have any bread, but I have a friend. And I'm going to go to my friend on behalf of another friend. Can I say that again? I'm going to go to my friend on behalf of another friend. And I will go to my friend and I will knock on his door and I'll get bread. I can see that friend say to that friend, how do you know you're going to get it from that friend? And he says to that friend, friend, I've been to that friend before. And friend, that friend is always a friend. In fact, my friend wants to be your friend too. Man, don't ask me to say that again. I don't think I can do it. And so he leaves his place of comfort. He leaves his comfort zone. It's still midnight. Now he's walking the streets. But he's not going from house to house. He's not going from door to door. He knows man, I got wrote down right here. Holler glory right here. Glory right here. He knows exactly where to go. And he goes to his friend, and I love it. He knocks on the door, and he says, friend, I need some bread. I need some bread. And notice why he needs it. He doesn't need it for himself. He said, I need it for somebody else. I need it for a friend of mine. You see, a lot of our praying is like this. Pour it on me. Pour it on me. Pour it on me. But real praying is, pass it through me. Pass it through me. pass it through me. Our prayer life is just not bring it, bring it, bring it. Put it on me, put it on me. But our prayer life ought to be pass it through me. Pass it through me. By the way, tonight, we're not reservoirs of God's blessings. We are channels of God's blessing. We get it from God to pass it on to somebody else. That's what your pastor does every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night except tonight. That's what your pastor does. He gets it from God and passes it to you. And aren't you glad you have a pastor that doesn't have to preach warmed, leftover, stale, cold, dry internet sermons? Praise God. He walks with God. He knows God. And he spends time with God. Amen. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there, buddy. God brings it down to him and he passes it out to you. He goes to that friend and says, hey, hey, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Here's why. I've got a friend in his journey has come to me and I have nothing. But if you'll give me something, my friend can give me some. Hey, if you'll give me something, my friend will have something. If you'll give me bread, my friend will have bread. You realize tonight, if we'll get with our friend named Jesus, he can give us what we need. And our lost family and friends can get what they need. Amen. Quickly tonight, notice the wording of our text. He said, friend, lend me. Lend me. Now, anytime you see that word lend, it means something. Number one, it means I need something, but I don't have it. Number two, it means you have it, and I don't. It also means if I get it, I'll have to get it from you. But it also means if you give it to me, I'm going to use it for a special purpose. If you give it to me, I'll use it for a special purpose. Have you ever had to borrow someone's lawnmower? Have you ever had to borrow someone's tools? Have you ever had to borrow someone's car? Have you ever had to borrow someone's dog? Have you ever had to borrow something off of somebody? That means you didn't have it, but they did. But they're going to let you use it for a special purpose. Can I remind you tonight? I don't have any authority. I don't have any bread. I don't have any anointing. I don't have any salvation. I don't have any deliverance. I don't have any power. But he's got it all, and he can give it to me and loan it to me that I might give it to somebody else. Notice the wording of our text. He said, friend, lend me, watch what he said, 3 loaves. Three. I was reading this to the and I thought, well, man, if this guy's all that hungry, one should have been sufficient. Why did he specifically ask for 3? I'm asking you. I don't know. Maybe one for the Father, one for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. Maybe one for yesterday, one for today, and one for tomorrow. Maybe a loaf of justification, a loaf of sanctification, a loaf of glorification. I don't know why he needed 3, but he said, I need 3. He wanted to make sure this, he had enough. Amen. But notice the words of our text. His friend got up in the midnight hour, and there's no number mentioned. He didn't say he got up and gave him 1. He didn't say he got up and gave him 2. He didn't say he got up and gave him 3, 4, or 5. It just says in the King James that he arose and gave him, man, I love this, and gave him as many as he needed. He, listen to this, write this down. Quote me later when I'm dead. Man, here's a quote. He gave him exactly what he needed to fulfill his divine appointment. Let me sit on that side and see if I get some more amens. He gave him what he needed to fulfill his divine appointment. Let me try it on this side. He gave him what he needed to fulfill his divine appointment. Let me try it on the Presbyterians in the middle. He gave him what he needed to fulfill his divine appointment. You know what God's done in your life, sir? He's given you what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. Sir, you know what God has done for you in your life? He's given you what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. He has given you what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. He has given you what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. Your pastor's a powerful man of God because God has given him what he needs to fulfill his divine appointment. And can I say what our friend in the midnight hour has done for him and him and him and him? And your pastor is the same friend tonight in the midnight hour that can give every man and every woman and every boy and every girl in this tabernacle tonight exactly what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. Don't be afraid to step out and live for God. Don't be afraid to go serve the Lord, because he'll never, ever, ever fail to give you what you need to fulfill your divine appointment. So he gets up at midnight and gives him enough, exactly enough. And in my mind's eye, I can see it. He comes over there to where that friend is. And that friend has patiently waited for him. And here comes his friend in the midnight hour. And he's loaded down. He's breaded up. He's got what he needs. And I see him as he says to that friend, "Here, friend, here's you some bread. Eat all you want. By the way, there's more where this came from." And while I'm on the subject, just let me remind you, I'm your friend, and you're my friend, but I got a friend. And guess what? My friend wants to be your friend too. And I believe the next time this friend needed some bread, maybe the next time this hungry man needed some bread, he went directly to the source. Because he knew there's a friend at midnight that always supplies bread for every need. Several years ago, when the Iron Curtain fell and some missionaries began to go over to Russia and places like that, like they had been in years, they went over there in a little village and held some meetings. They met some of those old Christians that had been jailed and put in prison just for owning a Bible, just for owning a copy of the Word of God. One of those old men told him this story. He said that was a little village about an hour and a half from Moscow. And there was a little man in that village that had a New Testament in that language. And it was the only copy of the Bible that anybody knew of, with miles and miles and miles, the only one. And one night the communists had heard about that. And they were coming to confiscate that only Bible that the village had. The man heard about it and he realized his wife was baking bread. So he went to the oven and pulled out them loaves of dough, and he opened up a hole and he took that little New Testament and he wrapped it up in some rags and stuck it in that dough and folded it up and stuck it back in the oven. So when the communists came in, they said, "Bible, we want the Bible. Where's that Bible?" And all that guy did, well, he just smiled and said, "Got bread. Got bread." You say he lied. No, he didn't lie. He didn't say he didn't have a Bible. He just said, "Got bread." They said, "Where is that Bible? We want that Bible." He said, "Got bread." "We didn't come for bread. We want the Bible. Where is that Bible?" "Got bread. Got bread." Well, finally they gave up and left. About an hour after they left, here come the people from all over that little village, and the hot talk tears were running down their face. And they said to this man, "Did they get our Bible? Did they get our Bible? Did they get our only Bible?" And that man said this. He said, "Go to the oven and open the bread and you'll find the Bible." Son, when that man told me that, it was like pouring gas on a fire. Son, it got all over me, and here's what the Spirit of God said to me. "Joe Arthur, everywhere you go, tell people not to go to the oven and open the bread and they'll find the Bible. But tell them everywhere you go, open the Bible and you'll find the bread." Amen. And not just enough, but more than enough. Because he's able to give us fresh bread. All of us tonight know somebody that needs Christ. All of us tonight know somebody that's hungry in their life for the bread. Let's get our bread hot tonight. so we can go out tomorrow and say, here. Because he's our friend, even at midnight. Let's stand together, Heavenly Father. We love you tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.